Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Bitcoin is right now at record highs again as we speak here. Last night it was at a record high. It's now over $1,000 more than what it was last night as we are talking to you here on Wednesday evening at about 7 o'clock Eastern Time. It's $13,909 on BitcoinAverage.com, which means that probably at some exchanges around the world, it's over $14,000.
It's a bubble.
Well, if it is a bubble,
it's either a bubble or it's an adoption curve. It can only be one of those two, right?
Well, you could have both. You know.
Right, there's going to be a bubble within the adoption curve,
right.
And it does seem like there's jump ups and then drop downs.
Yeah, it dropped down 25% last week when it went from like 12,000 to 9,000.
In any other industry,
and it came back.
You would call that a bubble. If you saw
you?
A drop
okay, 25%.
Of 20, 25, 30%, which you're seeing in Bitcoin
several
times in the last couple quarters, you'd call that a bubble. But people won't acknowledge those as bubbles. They say the whole thing's a bubble.
Well, it could go down.
I don't have any clue. Sure, there could be giant, big-moneyed investors that are moving into Bitcoin now, looking to put it in exchange-traded funds and hedge funds and all those things, and it just pop disappears tomorrow.
I was just talking with the guys from AnyPay last night, and they are having to change their acceptance model. There was a proposal to restrict Bitcoin transactions to $100 minimum, but they decided to not do that, but to instead add in transaction fees on top of a Bitcoin price to protect the merchant. Because what was happening with AnyPay, for listeners that don't know, this is a merchant services platform that allows, point of sale, somebody at a shop, like a brick and mortar location, to use a tablet with a pin pad on it. You type in the price and you hit collect, and it gives you a QR code, and the customer scans that code, and then they pay with Bitcoin or Dash. So there's a choice, and they're actually adding Litecoin and Bitcoin Cash as we speak. So the customer can choose if they want to pay with Bitcoin. It used to be that the merchant would take a small hit on the back end for when the Bitcoin was transmitted to their wallet. So, of course, that hit got larger and larger as the Bitcoin fees have been raising and up and up and up. The fees are now like basically you're going to pay $5 minimum for many Bitcoin transactions these days.
When we were talking about Bitcoin back in the day, and it would go from $6 to $4 to $7 in a day, those kind of swings are the same as what you're talking about now.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying, but it was a little, at least people felt like it was easier to get in at that time.
Sure.
And the market was much smaller.
Much, much, much smaller.
The misconception, though, about
Free Talk Live could go on the air and say, buy Bitcoin and watch the market go up.
The misconception about Bitcoin is that you have to buy one. And that is the biggest misconception. Yep. It is wrong. You can still get $5 worth of Bitcoin, although it's crazy to buy that small amount because of the fees. You probably want to buy 20 or 30 or
right.
$40 worth. But you can do that. Unfortunately, Bitcoin is becoming less useful over time. And another example of that is the fact that Steam, the world's largest gaming delivery platform, as far as I can tell, at least on PC, it's huge. It was big news a few years ago when Steam announced that they were going to start accepting Bitcoin. Unfortunately, now they're announcing they're going to stop. And in fact, they are stopping. December 6th, that's today. As of today, this is from their press release on their website. Steam will no longer support Bitcoin as a payment method on our platform due to high fees and volatility in the value of Bitcoin. So let me explain a little bit more here what they're saying. You go to Steam. You want to buy a $10 game. You're willing, for whatever reason, to pay the $5 transaction fee on top of that. But for whatever reason, the transaction doesn't complete within the allotted time frame,
right.
15 minutes or whatever. And now they're saying, well, you got to pay a little bit more in order to complete this transaction. You're like, well, I just paid $15 worth of Bitcoin for this $10 game. I don't want to pay you another $2 in Bitcoin because then I have to pay you another $5 fee to send that $2 to you. And so they're like, well, we would refund it to you, but then we've got to pay $5 just to refund it to you. This is a cluster F.
That's exactly what that is, yes.
So going on here a little bit more. So with the transaction fee being so high, it's not feasible to refund which they say, or ask the customer to transfer the missing balance, which itself runs the risk of underpayment again, depending on how much the value of Bitcoin changes while the Bitcoin network processes the additional transfer. Because remember, the network delays are also a factor. If you don't send a high enough fee, what happens? It sits there.
Yeah, it sits there, and it gets returned to you in like 2 weeks.
Right. I sent some Bitcoin transactions today, and I purposefully put a low fee in there just to see how long it's going to take to get the... And
I'm waiting on one right now.
And when I say a low fee, I'm saying a third. Not like, you know, pennies, but I sent like a $2 or $3 fee instead of a $5 or $6 fee. And it's just been waiting all day long. So anyway, nope.
Yep, mine's still waiting.
And you're calling from San Francisco, the supposed number one most Bitcoin accepting city per capita.
I haven't found a single place.
Yeah, Keene beats San Francisco by a factor of like 4. Keene, New Hampshire, where we're broadcasting from, and we've got them all right in the heart of downtown.
I'd say it beats its pants off, but San Francisco really does have that cornered.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, a lot of people don't have pants already, so right. It's fine. You can just drive around and find people with no pants. But there's... no businesses that I've been able to find that would want to pay me something, because I'm a photographer and I wanted to go out and earn some Bitcoin that way rather than buying it.
Yeah, sure.
So I looked on the map and I couldn't find anything. I mean, I found places, but they didn't really materialize. A lot of them were businesses that were not brick and mortar. They were kind of run from the home and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, my question was, I'm actually just decided to, after now that it's Bitcoin is just going crazy, I decided to just buy some, even though I've been trying to avoid it up until now. I wanted to get your current views on wallets, because I had downloaded the Jax wallet previously when I heard about it on the show, I think. So now that I actually have some of this currency, I want to have the sort of shape-shifting ability to diversify.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, and I heard some comments about maybe Jax wasn't so great for some reasons, but I didn't hear any details. So I just thought I'd give a shot and call into the show and maybe I imagine there's about 1,000 other people having the same question.
Yeah, unfortunately, Jax turned into a bit of a disappointment.
How much memory does it take to have a wallet?
Not a whole lot. I mean, so what kind of wallet are you looking for? Are you looking for one on your phone? Are you looking for something more like a hardware wallet, which is more for like a cold storage option? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for one for my iPhone.
Okay.
And one that's really flexible as far as just switching to different currencies. I want to get a little bit of quite a few different currencies.
There's nothing that I'm aware of for a multi-crypto wallet for iPhone that is good. I've never heard of anything for iPhone. Jax exists, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Real quick about Jax, just to close out the Jax part. You guys are in the problems are really bugs. There's not like so much a security or trust issue there, right?
There was some security issues that came out about it as well. I forget exactly what that was. It's been a while since we discussed it. Even the Jax people admit you don't want to use it for storing a serious amount of cryptocurrency.
Yeah. What do you guys think of Trezor?
I have a Trezor. I like the Trezor.
Yeah,
but that's not a phone wallet. But if you want to store something in cold storage, the Ledger, as you pointed out, the Trezor, these are the two big ones in the hardware wallet world, and they're both fine wallets from what I can tell.
Presently, I'm not in Sierra Leone. I came down to Ghana.
Ghana, all right.
Yes, I'm presently in Ghana, in Kumasi.
Got it. What did you want to talk about
tonight? What's on your
mind? Today, I want to talk about my trip for the Free Life Talk programs, for the Free State programs. You know, you guys have been telling you about that project, you know, since like past three years, I've not been succeed for that program. So, like, I'm, you know, still talking and still, you know, saying my message to libertarian guys in New Hampshire for them to look at my cry that I want to come for the programs because I need a Free Life Talk programs ready.
So you're a libertarian in Sierra Leone. You want to travel to come to the to New Hampshire to check out the Free State Project's convention that they have, which is called the Liberty Forum, and that happens in the wintertime. Over $2,000 increased in price in just the last 24 hours.
To the moon, Alice.
It's amazing. You know, I was just looking at the...
Soon you'll be able to buy Mexico.
By the end of the show tonight...
You'll be able to buy Mexico?
No, by the end of the show tonight, we might actually... actually see $400 billion market cap for all cryptocurrencies combined. Now, just so people out there are familiar with the term, the market cap is the total value of all of the cryptocurrency in circulation. So the Bitcoin market cap on its own is over $200 billion, just for Bitcoin. But for all of the cryptocurrencies, in fact, Bitcoin right now, $238 billion. For all cryptos, Ether, Dash, you know, you name it, all the 1,300 different cryptos out there, $395 billion tonight. Now, if you look at the chart over at coinmarketcap.com, you can see that it's increasing at the amount that's going up is increasing as far as the amount of time that it takes for it to increase the same amount is going down. It wasn't a month ago, maybe? Month and a half, maximum, that CEO of JP Morgan, Jamie Dimon, had come out and labeled Bitcoin as a fraud. And then in further interviews, continued to attack the world's most popular and the original first ever cryptocurrency.
And then he shut up about it.
Well, he said he was going to because he was tired of talking about it.
And his CFO then stepped forward and said, these are all our great blockchain initiatives at JP Morgan.
Right. According to newsbtc.com, less than a month since CEO Jamie Dimon inaccurately described Bitcoin as a fraud, JP Morgan has changed its stance on the cryptocurrency. Throughout the past month, analysts and investors in both the cryptocurrency and traditional finance markets have criticized Dimon and JP Morgan for their baseless condemnation of Bitcoin. Almost immediately after the company's CEO called Bitcoin a fraud and a bubble, JP Morgan was fined $4 billion for actual fraud in September. After that, Dimon broke his personal promise to not discuss Bitcoin any longer by describing it as a money laundering tool. Ironically, JP Morgan was cracked down on by the Swiss financial authority FINMA for money laundering.
Oh my God.
Earlier this week.
And he must know what it is.
JP Morgan analyst Nicholas, this is a good last name, Pangiertzoglou, publicly stated that Bitcoin has the potential to become an emerging asset class.
We were so incensed over Stiglitz's comments the day before that we decided we were going to write a response. Now, David Mondras, he's generally tends to be a bit more diplomatic than I am, wrote a nice couple paragraphs, kind of humorous, but, you know, being very nice about it. And I'm like, you know, this needs a bit more oomph. So I wrote another...
Stiglitz guy wasn't very nice when he called for it to be banned.
So I wrote a bit more, and I read it to everybody, and they're like, Mike, that's a manifesto. And I'm
All right.
Yeah, that's the point. And so it's like, well, let's merge the two and make something that everybody can get on board with. And so we did that, and we read it at the conference in front of the whole audience.
Right on.
And we passed it around, and we got hundreds of signatures, and we're going to be putting it up. Should have been up by now, but it's supposed to be going online so the whole world can sign on to this letter.
Okay.
And so I have the letter here in case our listeners want to hear it.
To hear it, yeah.
Okay. So here we go. Dear Professor Stiglitz, you are right. We, the undersigned, have dedicated our lives to individual sovereignty, individual responsibility, and personal liberty. We observed your interview on Bloomberg attacking Bitcoin and advocating that it be banned because its success is solely due to its ability to circumvent its lack of oversight and that it doesn't serve any valid social function. You're correct that Bitcoin was designed to bypass regulatory controls that we were born into. We've lived through the hyperinflation of 1970s, the stock market crash of the 80s, the dot-com boom and bust of the 90s, and the housing market crash of 2008.
Which affected us all the way into the teens.
Yeah. And in the wake of these horrendous failures that have irreparably damaged countless lives, it should be no surprise that individuals have sought and developed a system to escape future collapses.
Yeah.
Satoshi.
Yeah, this is the funniest thing. This is like the government school teachers when they critique charter schools.
Yeah.
This is how hollow this sounds. This is a high level economist, talking about how Bitcoin is unregulatable. You people have been regulating this crap for centuries, and and we, the little people, continue to get screwed. Yeah. One might soon withdraw the reasonable doubt that they're giving to you criminals.
Yeah, the plan is to screw you. I mean, that's what the fiat money systems
that's
around the world
are really
based on.
That's what they're really upset about, is that this could possibly threaten their little racket.
Absolutely.
The gist of what I wanted to touch on with you guys is a thing that keeps coming up. You know, I happened to get several of my friends' interest peaked in crypto. I mean, I remember when you guys started talking about it, and I didn't have the foresight to buy in.
Me neither.
Well, I'm kind of kicking myself in the bum these days. Yep. You know, we certainly, I'm not even so sure I missed the boat, but I certainly missed a lot of opportunity.
Sure.
However, the question that keeps coming up that I get hung up on is, what happens when there's no dollars to compare this thing to? How do you price a gallon of milk or whatever?
Good question.
And I just never seem to have any good answers for that. So I want.
Well, that's a long way off. And presumably, if Bitcoin were to be able to actually defeat the dollar and wipe out the government and wipe out fiat currency entirely, then I think that's a bridge we just have to cross when we came to it.
People used to ask this question about gold. And the answer always was is that you would have prices denominated in grams of gold. And so, you know, in this case, if something happened to where the dollar magically went away, people would price things in Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash or whatever.
But would it be as volatile then? At that time.
That's the interesting thing. People say,
that's the reason you don't want to price things in Bitcoin today, because it's insane.
CVS doesn't change the price of, you know, all the acne cream every time the U.S. dollar goes up against the yen.
Yeah, and they factor in expecting some kind of that volatility.
But over time, they do change the prices.
It does. It does change.
I just bought a Subway sandwich tonight for my dinner, and the last time I ordered this sandwich was like, you know, half a year ago or
$5
something like that.
$5 foot long?
A year ago. It's a $6.29.
Indeed it is, yeah. Well, I mean, I remember buying rubbing alcohol when I was in high school to put on my greasy little face, and you paid 99 cents. I was at...
Well, it's cheaper now because manufacturing and efficiencies and all that.
25 cents, and those are current dollars. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a tenth, a 15th of what it was.
Yeah. So, well, some things, it's the market, it's the manufacturing, the competition that drives price down, even though the value of the dollar is also lowering over time.
Go ahead, Dylan.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the general answer that I've had, is that, like, well, hey, we have a dollar right now, and, like, that wasn't based against anything. It was just, you know, supply and demand situation, and, you know, I don't know how much supply there is. That's up in the air, but... you know, there's certainly a demand, and I think something like crypto is an amazing thing.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So, I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I've been promoting liberty since the 70s. I've learned a little bit more as I got older. I've learned, I've basically rolled from being libertarian over to anarchist, which some people have different names for, but basically rejecting all authority of men. And I've seen the American people over those years, and there's been a change. And it's not a good change. The change that I've seen, and the reason that I think everybody is so afraid or so distant from the liberty message, and they just don't get it anymore, is because of fear. Fear has taken over this country. It's actually a sickness. I think it's a mental illness that's gone. It's promoted from birth to death right now. Everything is about fear.
Sure. That's how the government keeps its control.
Right, but it wasn't quite this way back, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Why do you think that is?
It's propaganda. It's because of the education system and because the government is controlled, they've controlled what everybody is ingesting through the news media, everything else, and the fear has become an epidemic to where liberty doesn't have a chance to grab a hold because people are afraid of liberty.
I love to tell people when I'm debating gun control, particularly with people from Massachusetts, about a story that my grandfather told me when he was a boy. Mm-hmm. He used to bicycle to school
with a rifle on his shotgun
strapped across his handlebars so he could go hunting after school.
They all told that same story, too. Like, whether it was biking or walking, it was always with a gun, you know?
This was in Massachusetts.
Well, yeah.
And I did that also in the 60s in St. Paul, Minnesota, where I grew up. I grew up in the city of St. Paul. I didn't live on a farm. And in eighth grade, we had rifle club, and I would take my rifle one day a week on the city bus to my junior high school.
Wow. My father used to do that, too.
Where we had a shooting range in the crawl space under the school. And
amazing.
My gun was only a 22 bolt action single shot. It wasn't a... AR-15.
You go to Guantanamo for that now.
I mean, yes, I know.
We're at the forefront of a fundamental change of society that disrupts, transforms, and transcends the imaginary limits that your draconian regulations have imposed on the world and create. And our system creates a life of abundance, bounty, brilliance, and boundless expansion based on the spontaneous organization of free markets and free men and women.
Right. All you have to know is when you're talking about the Federal Reserve and the money and the fiat money system as it is created today, is that money is created through banks. Like, that's all you have to know, is that bankers get their hands on the free money first.
That's right.
And they always take a cut of the action.
Of course they do.
Yeah, and now it is spontaneous because anybody who wants to can go and create their own cryptocurrency. There's now over 1,300 cryptocurrencies that are active over at coinmarketcap.com.
For all kinds of purposes, even.
Most of them aren't worth talking about, but they're there.
There's a lot of innovative uses for them. You know, not all 1,300 for sure.
And sometimes they come up out of the woodwork and surprise people, like IOTA, for instance, which is...
Didn't surprise you.
There are so many things in this world that can be made better with a blockchain technology.
Blockchain being the technology behind Bitcoin and many of its imitators out there, which is essentially, in most cases, a public ledger, but some of them aren't so public. Like, there's privacy coins like Zcash and Monero, for instance. So they're not all the same, but yeah, blockchains.
Monero is still a public ledger, but it's encrypted, so it's a lot easier to maintain your anonymity.
I see. Okay. So, but anyway, go on with your letter.
So we said, you know, with free markets and free women, we can remake the world.
Free women.
As free women.
Okay.
As we can remake the world as we envision it to be. You won't be the first or the last to call for banning Bitcoin. It's been attempted many times in several places, largely in areas much more oppressive than the U.S. with tens of thousands of miners across the planet all working together to maintain the sanctity and immutability of Bitcoin blockchain and a massive network of active enthusiasts growing larger every day. It's simply impossible to thwart us or demolish our system. While we're continuing to develop... and enjoy our beautiful new system. Hey, now. Based on individual sovereignty, transparency, entrepreneurship, and personal responsibility, we welcome you to join us. We have cookies.
Indeed, we do.
So, yeah, there you go, Stiglitz. He's going to die before any of this really happens.
This letter is going to be going up online.
It's not yet there?
Not yet there. It should have been.
Where will it be hosted?
It should be on Trive.news, but it might be someplace else. Well, there's this flexiphobia.
Fear of flexing?
One in five employees dare not ask about flexible working conditions, despite their legal right to do so, that it may impact their employability.
I see.
And...
that sounds like something maybe an insurance company would. Why is an insurance company asking about snowflakes?
Yeah. Insurance companies do have to be worried about millennials and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And this was an issue about mental health.
I see.
And you want to know if a generation, and by the way, I don't like this term millennial.
Yeah.
I think that it's far too broad. But you want to know if a group of people have been so coddled their whole life that they, when they go to college, they need safe spaces. That you know, a term as banal as a snowflake is going to give them mental health issues. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but I do think that, there's
going to check into a clinic and make an insurance claim or something.
There's a great deal of historical evidence that those that are too civilized, that have been coddled for too long, that have been pampered for too long,
yeah,
are simply incapable of leadership.
The author of the article says, I get a letter like this about once a month. Quote, Dear Let Grow, I've enjoyed your blog, Twitter feed, and reading your book over the past few years. They've helped me loosen up a little in most everything with my kids. Case in point, today, my wife and I drove an hour from our smallish Minnesotan town to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, to do some shopping.
Is it the big city?
I guess. After a few stores, we decided to stop at Walmart and gave some of our kids the choice. Come into the store or stay in the car and read. My 9-year-old opted to read on this pleasant 59-degree afternoon. My wife and I looked around the store with our other kids, 11, 7, 5, and of course our 2-year-old. At some point, our 5-year-old got tired, so we asked our 11-year-old to take her out to the car while we shopped for another 15 minutes. As my wife went to covertly purchase a few items for our kids, I went to the car with the last
Christmas time, you know.
Right, with the last 2 kids. As I arrived there, a whole 30 feet from the front entrance, I found a police officer speaking with my kids, who were seated quietly in the car, with my 9-year-old reading and my 11-year-old reading to his 5-year-old sister. The cop asked if I'd left them unattended, and I explained that 2 of them came out a few minutes ago and that the middle one had waited in the car.
First off, don't answer questions.
Right. First off,
these police officers
not to answer questions.
These police officers are millennials themselves.
Am I being detained?
The cop very politely told me that a few people had called to report kids left in the car, and someone mentioned that my son had opened the car door and waved to people from our church, it turns out.
When I was 10 growing up in Lebanon, I used to get put in detention all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a terrible year for me. But anyways, my mother got sick of picking me up. And she says, you're being punished by the school for a good reason, therefore you're walking home.
Oh, how long was the walk home?
It was 2 miles.
Okay, not so bad.
Well, not so bad in the fall.
Sure.
You know, but in the winter, you know, that's
more so.
You know, a trek to Antarctica.
Right. So did you start to get in less trouble at that point once you had to walk home?
It didn't really help, no.
But yeah, so nowadays she might be arrested for doing something like that. Oh, I don't know. Does that happen in New Hampshire as often as it does in like New York or California?
I wouldn't say so, but I think we've seen some arrests like that for a lack of parental oversight.
It's not that I don't support bike lanes and sidewalks and all those things. I think those things are great. But it's interesting that we believe that wherever a road goes, there must be a bike path. There must be sidewalks on both sides. I mean, what other things are we going to add to roads to make them that much more expensive in the future? I mean, it was just intended to be a bridge to get, you know, cars from one side of a creek to another or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got to, you know, tear it all down and build a whole new one because bike paths and pedestrian crossings and all those things.
Couldn't you just build a pedestrian bridge next to it?
It would certainly be cheaper, but then at some point they're going to want to expand the whole thing, and you know they have to tear down the pedestrian bridge.
Would it be
bridge.
Cheaper? I mean, they spent $2 million on the pedestrian bridge here in Keene.
Give them a vine. Yeah. Let them swing across.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.